Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. This is Pastor Craig coming at you live on a Friday morning, March the 1st, 2024. Where has the time gone? Yes, I'm filling in for Scott this morning, as you probably already know. And he's out and about doing the high school circuit with Mary Ellen Withrow. Going to be at the reception later this afternoon from 3 to 5. I hope many of you will come out and join the festivities and take advantage of the free food and free drink and have a chance to meet Mary Ellen. And there's going to be some other local politicians around and some dignitaries, and it should be a good, fun time this afternoon. So now I'm going to open up the phones this hour and encourage anybody to call. I've got a couple things here I thought we could discuss, but you're more than welcome to call and talk about whatever is on your mind. Like I said, I've got a couple topics here, maybe get things started. In the past, Scott has brought up on this station the fact that there is not a statue anywhere around for Warren G. Harding. And so I thought I would kind of look into this a little bit, and I've got some notes here about presidents and statues and things like that. And then I want to get into why you think he doesn't have a statue here. What is the problem? But there have been 8 presidents from the state of Ohio. Now, only 7 of those were born here. Sometimes we get criticized here in Ohio for trying to claim 8 when only 7 were born here. And the one who wasn't born here was William Henry Harrison. But he came here as a child, and he was living here when he was elected president. So that's why we can't claim him, because he was living here when he was elected president. So, William Henry Harrison. Now, he has a big statue down in Cincinnati where he's riding on a horse. You know, it's a big bronze statue. He's on a horse, and it's got a huge base. I mean, this thing is massive. Ulysses S. Grant, okay? He has a statue down in Georgetown. And at his boyhood home, the place where he was born, they have a cannon, you know, like one of those Civil War cannons there, and it's up on stone. And then on the front stone, they have a bronze plaque that basically is the bust of Ulysses S. Grant. Rutherford B. Hayes, he has a statue in downtown Delaware. If any of you drive through Delaware on a regular basis, you will see the statue of Rutherford B. Hayes. James A. Garfield, he has a marble statue, which I found kind of interesting, because all these other statues are the kind of standard bronze. But he has a marble statue, 8 feet tall. Benjamin Harrison. Ah, Benjamin Harrison. Now, he could sit there with Warren G. and say, nobody loves us, Benjamin Harrison does not have a statue here in Ohio. All he has is one of those historical markers. You know, the signs that are like 3 feet by 3 feet on the side of the road, and it's a, you know, Ohio Historical Society historical marker. And yeah, he's got one of those. So Benjamin Harrison, he's got the same complaint that Warren G has. William McKinley, they went all out on this guy. I guess if you take one for the country, they'll remember you. He's got up in Canton, Ohio, he's got a bronze statue, and then he has another statue right here, well, almost here in Columbus at the State House. He's got a nice statue and monument there at the State House. William Howard Taft has got an 8-foot statue down in Cincinnati. Of course, it would be Cincinnati, but he's got a statue down there. So, 8 presidents from Ohio, 6 of them have statues and more, and 2 of them don't. James A. Garfield, he's got a historical marker. Warren G. Harding, I don't think he even has a historical marker around Marion. Correct me if I'm wrong. Now, what he does have is out there at the cemetery, you know, they have the big Harding Memorial, and, you know, they have, you know, sign for it telling you all about it. He might have a historical marker out there, but he definitely doesn't have a statue. So here's my question. And you're welcome to call in 740-383-9944. Here's my question. What is the reason that Marion does not have a statue anywhere for Warren G. Harding? Is it because Marion in general just doesn't really care? You know, it was a president from 100 years ago. Nobody lived during that time, so nobody really cares. Or is it a matter of we're embarrassed because of the, you know, scandals surrounding Warren G. Harding? We're kind of embarrassed, and so don't want to make too big deal about the guy. I don't know. I welcome your thoughts, your comments. What is the reason? And while you're talking about that, what is the reason? What are your feelings? Are you comfortable with the fact that we don't have a statue here? Would you like to see a statue? And who should be the leading, if you feel like we should have a statue, who should be the leading force behind that? Should that be a group of citizens, the people of Marion? We want a statue to commemorate our president, so therefore we're going to, you know, get the money going and do something? Or do you feel that the city of Marion should, in remembrance of Warren G. Harding, should cough up some money and do a nice statue for Warren G. So give me a call, 740-383-9944. And what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about should there be or should there not be a statue for Warren G. Harding? And why haven't we gotten one at this point? Now, it's interesting, the why haven't we had one so far. When I look at the Rutherford B. Hayes in Delaware, see, Rutherford B. Hayes, he was back in the 1800s, and they didn't get a statue of him in Delaware until 2019. So Rutherford B. Hayes has only had his statue for 5 years. Now, I think the argument that, well, nobody's around that remembers him really wouldn't apply, because Delaware, they decided that they should have a statue, even though nobody down there is around who lived during his time. So, interesting thing. I don't know why we don't have one here. So I welcome your thoughts on why we don't have a statue for Warren G. Harding. Something to think about. All right. Give me a call. Let me know your thoughts. Second thing I got on my list here we can talk about is the most famous person that you have ever met in your life in person. Okay? This could be, you know, depending on your life experience, it could be the governor of the state of Ohio. It could be Barbra Streisand, a top known entertainer. It could be a foreign dignitary from another country. Who is the most famous person that you have ever met in your life? And give me a call, 740-383-9944. Again, at 740-383-9944, and tell me about your experience meeting somebody famous. Now, since I asked you about your experience, I'll tell you mine. I've got three, okay? I was in the physical presence. This was 1967. I was in the physical presence of, I could almost reach out and touch him. Not quite. He was surrounded by security. But I was in the Montreal airport and with my family, and we were waiting to catch a plane out of Montreal. And incoming to Montreal was a plane from France. And on that plane was Charles de Gaulle, who was at that time, what do they call the leader of France? I think it's prime minister. I'm not sure. Was it president? I don't remember what it was. But anyway, Charles de Gaulle, the guy in charge of France, and he and his entourage went right past us, literally 10 feet away. Now, that's not really meeting a famous person. I just like to tell that story. But as far as meeting a famous person, when I was a child, it would have been the mayor of Columbus at that time was a man by the name of M.E. Sensenbrenner. And I imagine there are probably several of the listeners out there that are old enough to remember M.E. Sensenbrenner. He was a very, very popular mayor of Columbus. And that was back when Columbus was a cow town. And trust me, it was a cow town. That's what it was called, a cow town. Everybody called it that. But he was a big, big promoter of Columbus, big, big fan of Columbus. I mean, he was like the PR guy for the city of Columbus. Well, when I was in elementary school, I can't remember which grade it was. I think it was third grade. Our class was planning a field trip to the mayor's office. And the day of the field trip, I was so sick, I couldn't go. And so I was totally crushed about not being able to go to the mayor's office in Columbus. So a few days later, my mom called the mayor's office and explained the situation that, you know, that my school class had a field trip there and I was sick that day, and would there be any way that we could get a quick private tour of the mayor's office? And the answer came back, sure. So myself and my older sister and my mom, we went down and we got a personal tour of the mayor's office. We met the mayor. He explained, you know, talked about his office and his job and showed us all the things. He was, if any of you ever knew Mayor Sensenbrenner, he was a huge fan of John F. Kennedy. And he had a Kennedy room down there at the mayor's office where he had a bunch of memorabilia and stuff from John F. Kennedy. And he was really proud of that. So that was my experience meeting the mayor of Columbus. So give me a call, 740-383-9944. And tell me about your experiences in life. Somebody famous that you've met. And also, too, if you want to comment about President Harding and why he doesn't have a statue, should he deserve a statue or shouldn't he? Give me a call. Tell me what your thoughts are. Now, I had lunch when I was a college student. I had lunch with, this would have been about 1980 or 81, I'm not sure of the exact date. I had lunch with former President Gerald Ford. So this is my big claim to fame. This is my most famous, most important person I've ever met with. And that would be Gerald Ford. And I'll tell you the story in just a minute here, because we're going to take a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Pastor Craig, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I was kind of surprised that that Delaware constructed the Rutherford B. Hayes statue in downtown Delaware. It's a nice statue. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen it. I've driven by it a couple of times, and it is a very nice statue.
Yeah, I guess it costs like $125,000.
Woo!
So, which was less than what they had originally planned, but to think that it was put up in 2019, which is about the time that everybody around the country was tearing down our statues of great men. So I was kind of surprised that as soon as they put it up, they didn't tear it down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I noticed. When I saw that 2019, that's the exact same thought I heard. It's like, wow, they're putting it up at the same time everybody's tearing them down. But do you know now, was that private funds, or was that a combination, private and public, or did the city pay for that?
I think a good portion of it came from the city of Delaware.
Okay,
as I'm aware, so they got a lot more money, obviously, than we do up north in the Marion area. But yeah, Hayes was, you know, kind of, and he was more controversial, you know, with his Indian policy out west. I mean, that was right after the Battle of Little Bighorn and, you know, all that. So, yeah, I every time I drive by it, I'm like, man, I'm surprised Antifa isn't here toppling this statue. But Harding, I think, would, if we did manage to get a statue up, I think that he would probably fare better, you know, because he gets a lot of hate, and I think it's primarily because of his reticence to join the League of Nations.
Right.
That's my personal opinion, and I think that his reputation was tarnished as a result of that in his America First platform. I mean, that's where that term generated, that campaign slogan.
Right.
Compare that to Hayes. If you look at his campaign posters, it'll say "Vote Hayes, the lesser of two evils." I mean, that's at least they were honest back then,
right?
Right.
Oh no, exactly. now, do you think we should have a statue here for Harding?
Yeah, personally, I do. I mean, we have a beautiful memorial, and then we have his house, and then in Caledonia, they erected a plaque, the state of Ohio did, if you've driven by his boyhood home in Caledonia.
Yep.
And then there's another plaque where he was actually born.
In Blooming Grove.
Over in Blooming Grove.
Right.
So, but no, I think that it's something that we used to value was right. Our heritage
right.
And our history. And unfortunately, that has kind of disappeared in this country.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, everybody is is an imperfect human being. We all have our faults and we all have our, you know, whatever. And, you know, and generally we recognize that. And, you know, it's really kind of funny how we give a pass to a lot of people as far as their personal life, but yet others, we don't want to give them a pass. We want to hold that up as what a rotten person they were. But I think, you know, I think recognizing that, you know, we are just people and we're not perfect, I think it is very important to remember our past and to, you know, honor our past and recognize the accomplishments, because even regardless of the problems they might have had as a person, the fact is they're well known or they're famous because they did have great accomplishments.
I couldn't agree more. And it is a battlefront of the culture war, and if you look at the cultural revolution that occurred in China under Mao Zedong, I mean, that was what they did. They went through and tore down statues, mm-hmm. and burned books and tried to completely destroy centuries of Chinese history and replace it with new, you know, communist party approved culture and history. And that's how I see it. I mean, there are commonalities amongst the targets that are being, you know, torn down. Right. I mean, it's pretty obvious. They're not doing it across the board. You know, they're targeting, yep. You know, certain individuals. And, you know, it's all part of a cultural war.
Right.
So people need to realize that it's not, oh, this person did something bad, you know, 100 years ago based on today's standards. No, and it won't stop. That's the other thing people right. need to realize is that it won't stop at Confederate generals. You know, now they're tearing down, you know, Christopher Columbus, Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. You name it, if it was a great person in American history, they're in the crosshairs.
Right, right. It's really, if there is something on your cultural, political agenda that you don't agree with it, then that was that person's number one fault, and they want it to cancel whatever their contribution to society may have been.
Yes, sir. So people need to stand up, and I think it would be, especially in light of the cultural war that is waging right now, to try to do something, you know, for Harding. I don't know if there's enough people out there that really care. I'd say most Marion people have heard of Harding. Do
right.
they know very much about him or about the history, you know, in the 1920s and before? No, they don't. And it's a reflection of values, I think, within the population at large. And it's sad because if you look at, like, the 1970s, when, you know, there was that patriotic fervor around the bicentennial of the country, and every single little town and village and city in this country, you know, if they were celebrating 100 years or 150 years or 200 years, they made sure that they had a big doings, you know, to celebrate it because they were connected to that shared history. It's not that way anymore, unfortunately.
No.
As much as I would like it to be, it's not.
It's not.
But I think if you could gather up the support to erect a statue of Harding, I think that would be a fantastic gesture. And I don't know where you would place it. Where do you think it would be most appropriate to place it?
Well, you know, that was something I was thinking about, because what got me thinking about is, you know, where would you put it? And one thing that, you know, Well, you could put it down by the Harding Memorial, down by the cemetery, but then it occurred to me, really, you should have it somewhere else. And then I thought, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons where there hasn't been a big push to get a statue, because people think of the Harding Memorial that's down there at the cemetery. And, you know, they've got, well, we've got that big memorial. I don't know if that's what people think, but I could see where they would say, well, we've got the big memorial for him. Why do we need a statue? So what I think would be nice is really if it was downtown. It's, you know, most of the statues that we have tend to be downtown, or they tend to be at cemeteries. And he's got that big memorial at the cemetery. I think it would be nice downtown. But then that raises the question, where downtown? Because we don't really have, you know, we don't really have like one block or two blocks that's the center of downtown that has a, you know, a traffic circle or has a, you know, a building that's prominent that you would kind of focus on. But I think maybe one possible would be at Founders Park. That's an area where you could put a statue.
Yeah, I think that would be a good location. Or maybe by the, if you had enough room, by the courthouse at the intersection of Center and Main, maybe, I don't know.
That's another area. And, you know, maybe in front of where the original
Marion Star.
Yeah, Marion Star was.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Different. You know, you get some different ideas. I don't know, but I think we are lacking in not having one here.
I agree, and you know, but don't think for a minute that this lack of appreciation for history is not deliberate, because it absolutely is. Because they couldn't tear it down if people cared about it.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. And if you have kids, young kids, you know, try to share not only, you know, history of this nation, but this area, your own family history. Try to instill those values at an early age, because you can rest assured that they're not going to get them in public education.
Well, I got to tell you something that fits along that lines, okay? So I am an extreme history buff. I mean, it just something I've always been interested in. So, you know, these historical markers that they have all around the state at, you know, historical sites that the Historical Society put up, I always stop and read it. If I'm going through a town or something, and they've got, you know, right there on, you know, US 40, there's a historical marker along the side of the road, I'll stop and I'll read it. And what's really funny is I have two sons. And when they were teenagers, that's what I always did, is we would stop and read them. And I'd make them get out, and I would stand there, and I'd read it. And, you know, they'd stand there. And, you know, they were teenagers. The last thing that they wanted was to listen to Dad reading these historical markers. But I got to tell you something. My one son is 34, and my other son is 32. And my son, who's 32, his wife, she rolls her eyes whenever they come to a historical marker, because my son stops the car and he reads it to his wife and he reads it to his kids.
Well, you did a good job.
Yep.
That's what people really need to do. I mean, it's crucial, because without a past, you cannot have a present or a future. And, you know,
yep.
It's a war, so you have to fight it, just like the spiritual battles that people wage, you know, every day. So,
yep. Do you have a story on most famous person you've ever met in person?
I can tell you one that I almost met.
Okay.
When I was in college, I was involved, very involved in different groups. And one of them was the College Republicans. So I was selected to appear on stage with, with George W. Bush.
Okay.
And by that time, I had become quite discontented with Mr. Bush, so I refused. I said, nope, I ain't going on stage with him.
Oh, this is even better. You had a chance to meet somebody really famous, a president, and you opted not to do it.
I did.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I stand by that. I think that decision has aged well over the years.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks. Thanks for calling. It was great talking to you.
Nice chat with you. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so thank the caller for calling. So that was I got a chuckle about George Bush. That's W. So all right, the phone line is open. You can call me at 740-383-9944 and tell me your thoughts on having a Harding statue here in Marion. Or tell me about the most famous person you've ever met or you decided you didn't want to meet. And so let's go take a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning from Idaho, Pastor Craig.
Hey, good morning from Idaho. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I see Scott's packages sitting here in the office.
So the question I had for you
is...
If a statue were to be erected of somebody today, who do you think would be, I guess, most deserving or least controversial if a statue were to be put up of them?
Well, I'll tell you this. Do you mean locally here? Or do you mean
locally or nationally or just in general?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Locally... I think the least controversial would probably be Mary Ellen Withrow.
I agree.
I mean, that would be like, how could you possibly have any controversy over that? I mean, you know, that would
right,
be the least
exactly.
least controversial. And to be honest with you, and I would say this, even if I had never met her, I think... You know, you could make a good argument for giving her a statue. She really is a very accomplished and famous person from this area. But unfortunately, I mean, if Harding can't get a statue, I don't think Mary Ellen's going to get one.
Right, that's unfortunate because I feel like she would definitely be way more... than deserving of getting one.
Right. You know, it's interesting because, you know, she is a Democrat. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of Republicans this afternoon at this reception. I know some names of some Republicans that are going to be there. I know there's a couple that are, it's going to be a surprise because I don't think other people realize they're going to be there. But this is not a political event. This is an event, you know, this afternoon, a reception for, you know, a very accomplished individual has great accomplishments. And I think it's wonderful that people of either party can come and celebrate her for her accomplishments because it's not a political story.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing happening.
So I guess if we're going on a bigger level,
yes.
If there's a celebrity or a national level figure that would get a statue, who do you think would be the less controversial on that level?
Oh boy, you know it's because it's really kind of funny because 20 years ago, you could be a big celebrity and it wouldn't be controversial, but in today's age there are so many big celebrities that have now become controversial.
Right,
you know,
because of either things they've done or,
you know, and even like for instance, big musicians who've commented on certain things in society. Now all of a sudden, this singer or that singer is controversial because they're on the side that I don't agree with.
Right.
But I don't know.
I think.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think going back to what you said, though, if anybody is truly deserving of getting a statue, it would definitely be Mary Ellen, no questions asked.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, because, you know, even from a standpoint of, you know, take Harding out of the presidency, you know, I think he deserves recognition in Marion just for the fact of, you know, his contributions to, you know, the Marion Star and things like that. It's really a shame. It's almost like the last caller. It's really a shame when we pay so little attention to our history, to our past, to our heritage. Yeah. We don't honor those people of the past who were, you know, the big deals of their day.
Yeah, we don't. That's truly sad.
Yeah.
It really is.
So what's the weather like out there in Idaho today?
So it's still in the high 30s, low 40s. Had a little bit of rain yesterday. Don't think we're getting any rain today, but it's just cold and clammy.
Do you miss the Ohio weather?
Honestly, not one bit.
I've lived here for 65 years. I'm 65 years old. I was born and raised in Columbus. I've lived here for 65 years, and I do not, I mean, it's the only weather, quote, I've known. But I don't like the weather. I don't like the weather here in Ohio. I've never liked the winters. I still don't like the winters, and I can't stand the weather here. I don't know where else I would live. But I just can't stand the weather here.
Yeah, I will say the winters out here are completely different. So like out here, there's markers on the side of the road that tells you where the road is because of how high the snow can get. The road that I take to work every day, there's areas that you pull over that are designated areas to stop and put on your snow chains.
Wow. That is completely different.
Yeah.
Now,
I think I've mentioned it to you before a while back, but out here, instead of putting salt on the roads and brine, they put down sand and gravel for traction.
And it's better for the roads.
Yeah, and better for the cars, too.
Well, that's
true. I used to work at a dealership out here when I first moved here, and I've seen, I saw a 1980-something Chevy Silverado that was owned by a rural mail carrier out here. Thing had over 500,000 miles on it, still had the original frame and everything, and there's hardly a spot of rust on it.
Mm-hmm. I know some people that own some businesses that buy, you know, trucks. And, you know, trucks, you know, especially when they're diesels, you know, you can get several hundred thousand miles out of them easily. And, these guys, they'll go down to Florida and they'll go down to Texas twice a year to look for used trucks.
Yep. I've got a couple friends back in Ohio that do that. They'll go out of the Rust Belt to try to get a car that's not 5 years old and already half rusted away.
Yeah. Hey, while I got you on the phone, this is going to be somewhat on a personal level, but that's okay. Nobody's listening.
That's fine.
But how's your friend's daughter doing?
Oh, she's actually doing great. So her mother just posted an update on her yesterday. So she started physical therapy and speech therapy, and she's gotten to the point where she's able to stand up on her own and walk a little bit. And yesterday, for the first time, she was able to take a shower completely unassisted.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And for our listeners, just briefly, if you don't mind, you can just kind of share generally why she had to have surgery, what her condition was.
So she had epilepsy, and she underwent a ton of tests, and they couldn't figure out what was going on, and this poor kid was having 14 or more seizures a day, and she quickly got to the point where she gained a ton of weight because she would forget that she ate, and then she would eat again, and she would forget how to go to the bathroom and forget how to walk and forget basically everything that happened to her during the day. So what they did was a brain surgery called a corpus callosity, which is where the two sides of the brain are basically split so that they can't communicate with each other, which is supposed to put an end to the seizures. But the obvious side effect of that is after the surgery, she has to relearn all her motor skills and walking and all that stuff.
But she's been doing remarkable since then.
Yeah, and all the doctors were saying that after the surgery was done, she was supposed to basically be in a coma for about a week, but she was awake and talking the next day.
That's great.
She had all the doctors in shock.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm really glad to hear that. That's great.
Yeah, God is good.
Yep, amen. Amen. So anything else on your mind?
No, nothing really at the moment. Admittedly, I've only been awake for about 45 minutes out here, so maybe once I'm more fully awake later, some more will come to me.
All right. Well, listen, it was great hearing from you. We're going to be around here today till 2 o'clock live, so
okay.
don't hesitate calling back.
Oh, I won't at all.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Bye.
All right, so that's our man in Idaho giving us an update. And I see that Scott is back in the studio, so things must have gone well this morning. And so I'll be anxious to hear how the morning festivities went. And, of course, we'll be talking about it on the air, so you'll all get to hear how the morning festivities went. So, got just a couple minutes left here, so I'll finish the story I was telling. I had lunch with former President Gerald Ford, and this was about 1980, and I was in college, and of course Gerald Ford had been president after Nixon resigned, so it was there in the mid-70s, and I was invited to a luncheon with 25 other college students, and we had lunch with Gerald Ford, and it was part of the Horatio Alger Association, who gives awards and scholarships to students in college that have had various backgrounds, accomplishments, and things like that. So that was my most famous person that I've ever met. I had lunch with Gerald Ford, but it was after he was president, so, you know, he probably was anxious to fill up his schedule with just things to do.
Golf. He liked to play golf.
There you go.
He was a golfer.
So we got about a minute left, and then we'll take a break, and then Scott is back in the studio, so Scott will give us the rundown of how things went this morning. Scott, are you by yourself?
Where? The other two will be here as well.
Okay. Now, is Sean with you?
Sean will not be here.
All right. So it'll be Scott and Matt and Carrington and myself. So that'll be coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. So we're going to take a break. And thank you, everybody who called. And I didn't even get to everything on my list, but I thank you for calling. That's what makes this show work, is when you participate in it. So, again, a reminder that we'll be back on at 10. I'll be on at 11 with What's Happening, Marion. We'll all be back for the Exchange Club at 12, and then I'll be here at 1 for Study His Word. We're going to run down and participate in the reception from 3:30 to 5. The public is invited. We hope we see you there. And then Scott and Matt and Carrington tonight from 8 until 10. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown,